welcome to the big show. Yes, sorry we've had a bit of an absence the last few weeks with me anyway, but Righty took over and did it manfully last week. At the last minute, I might add, with no guests, I might add. Well done, mate.
I pulled it together.
Oh, mate, more than. It was hardly string and brown paper. It looked flush. but we're back now. We're here now. So the bloke that you all love to hate, can you can write in about, is back in the chair. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, the fantastic bunch. Starting us off with the man who's nearly a daddy. How long you got to go, mate?
I've got 67 days to go. Not that we're counting.
No, not much. 67 days till there's no more sleep.
That's it. And I would say I can't wait till no more sleep, but no, not that bit. I am really excited today. We don't know what we're having yet.
Oh, you don't?
Nope.
Oh, right, cool. A very 19th century.
It's a baby.
It's a baby. Congratulations.
Well, yeah, fair point.
Yeah. But no, the interesting thing about Sam being pregnant is all of the old wives' tales. So, you know, like if you spit under a rock on a hot day, you're going to have a boy, that kind of thing. It's all quite ridiculous.
No, and a half.
Yeah. So, yeah, but we just kind of laugh at people when they say that. Of course, behind their backs, not to them.
Good, okay. I mean, I know it's a little backward up in your neck of the woods, but steady on.
Hey, come on now. It's not that bad here. They've got the 3D scan here, except they call it 4D. I'm not sure what the fourth dimension is in that, but you know, 4D scan, it was quite amazing to see. I've got
to
be honest.
Such high detail, but you said don't show me its willy.
That or vagina. Yes, exactly.
Okay. I wasn't gonna say that, but never mind. next to him, it's Jeffrey.
Ewan, it's really great to see you.
Happy New
Year,
mate.
Feels like it's been forever.
It bloody has. I'm sorry. I do apologise. What you been up to then? Good Christmas?
Yep, survived Christmas and survived CES.
Yeah, that was the one you weren't here, were you, for the one show that we did do? Because you were off.
Yeah. I was gallivanting around Las Vegas.
I would go to CES, I have to say, if it wasn't for the fact that it doesn't run at the same time as the Adult Video Awards anymore.
You know, that is kind of a disappointment.
If it did, I'm there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and you know, the video awards conference, it's actually really interesting. And
really? You took a lot of notes?
Actually, yes. Back in the day when it was here, or at the same time, it was great because you would get to see what the adult entertainment industry is using technology-wise.
Oh.
And, excuse me. And they set...
I bet you didn't sit down for a week.
What we use for all the video stuff.
God. Mate, those were the days, eh?
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, back when batteries didn't last very long. Next to him, it's Righty Boy. Well
Hello,
done,
mate.
Stepping in, top bloke, Ali Gearin, as Op Boss. Did she have a good Christmas?
Oh, she did, yes. She's a happy lady.
Oh, trying to
glad, glad to have you back. I don't know how you do this every week.
Well, I don't, that's the point. I've been apologising for.
Well, no. It is a task to run the big show. It really is. But obviously last week I had some amazing guests, and they were awesome. And I do enjoy doing it, but don't go away too often.
All right, mate. No problem. Now, you got the Queen visiting you tomorrow, haven't you? She's coming to Avengers HQ.
She's coming to Avengers HQ. Yes, she is. She's going to put her Iron Man suit on. If it's good enough for the President in... Iron Man 3 is good enough for the Queen, so we're going to suit her up and send her off into the stratosphere.
Excellent, mate. And is she really coming for any kind of purpose, or is it just one of those wavy tour things? Because it's pretty cold, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Avengers HQ is officially an art gallery, so we've got some arty-farty thing going on, so she's coming to open that.
So you won't get to see her then?
No, I've got a meeting when she arrives, so no.
You've got a meeting?
Cancel it.
Did you say you've got a meter when she arrives?
No, I've got a meeting when she arrives, so I'm not going to get to go down and see it.
Oh, right, okay. God, blimey, I was going to be impressed for a second there. Arise, Sir Paul. Throw your cape on that puddle boy.
Oh, could we be... Have we got, like a there's sanctioned things, aren't there? Like, by Majesty's appointment, kind of, like, cheese and stuff. Could we be Her Majesty's appointment?
She has to listen to the show.
Which would put the
knife in squarely between the shoulder blades of any kind of gong that any of us is going to win. So.
Arise, so you.
So I should just apologize in advance.
You'd get a KBE, wouldn't you? So it's not quite the same. It's a fake sir.
Yeah.
The kind of sir that you got at the AVN Awards would have been more meaningful.
Yeah.
Arise, Sir Jeff Gamet, if you know what I mean. Enough, enough.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, the wooden sword. Last but by no means least, in the studio here with Jake, who you can see his left arm there, Bronwyn. Look, you can see his arm. Oh, she's right arm. She's right arm.
No, it's her left arm.
It's your left arm. It's Muller.
Hello.
How you doing, mate?
I'm fine, thank you.
What's been happening?
Well, I've been going to rugby on my own. Because you didn't
I've
turn
only
up.
Missed one game. Jesus Christ.
You missed two?
Yeah, all season.
You missed Christmas Eve, and you missed some Boston games, actually.
I did, yeah, that's true.
So you missed some good ones. Only four more left of the season.
You probably really say Boston, don't you?
I just heard that, and I did wonder.
It's a bit more up Terry's way, though, Boston.
It is.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Boston?
Boston up here.
Oh, he's busting you.
And we don't catch the buzz. Oh, we do catch the buzz. We don't catch the bus.
Ben Binkum.
What was that one?
Oh. The buzz.
The blooming Norfolk like, guy taking a mick out of my accent.
Bingham. I heard Bingham there.
Where are you from originally, Terry?
I'm from London.
London.
From London town.
All right, okay.
Is that with an O or an A?
Which part?
I was born in Hounslow.
That's not London. There,
and then moved into central London-ish. And then...
What,
yeah,
Staines?
I've been all over the place. I went to Cyprus. I lived in Cyprus from when I was 13 onwards.
All right, okay.
Mm.
Was that with the RAF or...?
No, just mum and dad decided to ship me off until they sold the house and move over there. So I was living with my grandparents for a couple of years.
All right, cool.
That's what they told you.
Yeah, that's what they said. I know.
Yeah, fair point.
They still haven't moved to Cyprus,
have
they?
They still haven't moved. Oh, man.
Oh, that burns.
Never mind, eh? It was a joke, Terry.
I'm crying. I'm crying.
Oh, Nightshade's lost. Jeffrey, if you've got to get her, go get her, mate.
Yeah, I got to go get her. I'll be right back.
That's fine. This show will always stop for Nightshade, no question.
Mm-hmm. Always stops for Jeff's pussy.
We always stop for Jeff's pussy, absolutely.
That's going to be the show title.
It's the leader so far. Stop for Jeff's pussy. Jeff, go grab it.
Not
Trump. We've got listening figures in. This show has 1.5 million listeners.
Well, that's as many as...
Period. Right. Who's got the first story then? Who's going to start us off? Who's got the fast fingers in the chat room?
I sent mine already to you.
Oh, righty boy. Righty boy's in. He's fast. The fingers in it in Norwich. Hey?
It's fast fingering in Norwich.
Fingering in Norwich.
They got more fingers than us, though.
That's a pretty good show title.
They've got more fingers than us.
Sorry, you city bastard.
You'd missed him, hadn't you, last week up until this week, and then you've realised didn't miss him at all.
No, not at all.
Google took down nearly 2 billion, billion bad ads in 2016, righty. Tell us more.
Well, I know, I take this with a pinch of salt because I know, obviously, Jeff has some ads, obviously, as an income from Mac Observer and stuff, but none of us really like ads, and ads over the years have not been really that great. So Google removed 1.7 billion ads from its ad platform in 2016. They just reported. So that's double what they did in 2015. Ooh. So 68 million illegal pharmaceuticals. That's 80 million misleading or deceiving ads. That's 112 million trick-to-clicks, which I never heard before, but apparently it's trick-to-clicks. 6,000 sites, 6,000 user accounts for counterfeit goods, and the list goes on. But generally, like, even like legitimate ads can really kind of wind you up. You know, it's one of the things, like, if you want to watch a video that's like 10 seconds long, you've got to watch a 30-second preamble before it.
Yeah.
Mm. And that really winds me up. And one of the reasons that I use an ad blocker, and I'm not ashamed by saying that I do that. I think it's my right. But now that I'm going around the internet, I'm being told, hey, you're using an ad blocker. We're not going to show you our stuff, or we're going to tell you off and then show you our stuff. But they may withhold it. So there's so many misleading ads on the internet right now. A lot of them got malware in it. Listen to Security Now on the Twitter network, and they've come up with loads of things about ads that have got malware and those sort of things. But at the end of the day, ads on the internet are just annoying, because you get things like, I bought a pair of jeans, so I get an advert for a pair of jeans 30 times a day, which I've already bought.
Yeah. Amazon's pretty bad at that.
It's terrible. And the question is there another model that they need to adopt now? Because I think this sort of thing is going to push more people to ad blockers, which means that more people are going to say, okay, you use ad blocker, you can't see our stuff, and people are going to look for other means of finding news or reviews or whatever. I think ads on the internet just got out of control, because some of them are like full screen sometimes, some of them take up half your screen, or they're pop-ups and all that sort of stuff. But it's really out of control. Yeah, I know Punch the Monkey's gone now, but I don't think we'll ever get away from the model of what we've got now.
Yeah, go on. I mean, the ads that I see tend to be just the banner stuff that's pretty poor. If I go to any advert, or if I go to any content and it says, oh, you've got a 30 or a minute and a half ad to watch before you can watch the content, see ya. No, not happening.
That seems totally reasonable.
Yeah, I don't care what it is.
If they're going to block you like that, then don't look at their content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and the ad blocking thing as well, if it says, oh, no, we're not showing the content because you use an ad blocker, my response to that would be, okay, fair enough, sod off. I still don't care. I'm not taking down my ad blocker so that you can show me that crap that I don't want to see anyway. But I think the internet's in a tough position because it's built itself on a model of freedom, and, of course, nothing's free. So now that the advertising technology has got to the point that it can show you adverts in ever more confusing and debilitating ways, that there is a certain element that it needs to morally go back to what it could have been, rather than staying as it currently is.
Yeah, I think it's trying to be too clever, you know, with this, obviously with cookies and stuff like that. It's trying to be too clever, like, you know, you looked at this, you might be interested in this, but then it gets into the, well, you've already bought this, but I'm going to show you it again. And I'm surprised with all the technology that's out there at the moment that they haven't sorted this out.
Have you seen the adverts on YouTube where they overlay two or four ads, and then where the X is, it's actually an activation point for an ad that's actually on top of the X that you can't
see?
Yes,
that I
really
have.
Pisses me off. That's a browser closing.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's shit.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, you get a red X in the corner, and then you go to click on it, and actually it's not. It's behind the advert that you're clicking on, and where it is the red X is on a different location.
Yeah.
Sorry, Terry, you were going to say something there?
No, I was just going to say something on the point of you said about cookies and things like that. And I was talking to somebody over the new year, a total, you know, just somebody who uses Facebook, browses the internet, nobody advanced by any means. And I explained to them how their web journey is tracked. And she had absolutely no idea. And it's quite interesting that, you know, we say about, you know, jeans, for example, you bought them and what have you. And actually, this person I spoke to said that actually she does click on the adverts because she does find them relevant. And she didn't necessarily understand why they were relevant. And that, I think, she found a bit almost violating in some respect, which you
Hang on, I'm lost there, mate. She clicks on the ads because she finds them relevant, but she doesn't know why they're relevant. So how does she know they're relevant?
Well, relevant as in, so she's looking
with jeans.
Women's clothes, for example, okay. And specifically looking at jeans, and then, behold, there's an advert for the perfect pair of jeans.
There is a perfect pair of jeans, is there?
Well,
that is for
sale. That's a bit of an exaggeration.
Is that like the fountain of youth
for the jeans world? Yeah,
yeah, that's
right. The perfect pair of jeans. but yeah, so I mean, this is what I'm saying though. The actual understanding of the general user, or you know, your everyday user, I don't know. Do they find it that awful in terms of advertising targeted at them? Is it that bad? I don't mind it personally sometimes. Sometimes I do find it useful.
Some of it's really bad. I mean, the Camps is referencing here. I've seen several news sites recently where you get the first line of the article and then you have to watch an ad before you can read the rest of the article. And that seems the perfect way to get
ridiculous.
People to move on. Oh, there's a lot of places do it. I think the FT does that. They'll let you have half the first paragraph and then that's it, you're off. Yeah. Unless you've got a subscription.
But a lot of sites do that thing now where they go, it's one of those kind of things, you won't believe what happened next. And it's kind of like, here's some information, and then it's kind of like, what's this ad? And then next.
Oh, yeah. Clickbait.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, terrible.
Oh, that's page
views. The slideshow articles are horrible.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They're also really good for everyone because it artificially inflates your click-through rates.
But the other thing that really annoys me is if I go to, I assume it's a representative news source like Sky News or The Verge or someone like that, they'll have their news, but at the bottom you've got news that is completely irrelevant that links you to other websites as well.
Oh, there was an article on that on one of the TV shows about the company that puts them there.
And I think I heard that as well.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember by now, but anyway, they're basically click sites. And when you click on them, sometimes the story's not even matching what the picture and what it suggested it was going to be.
Yeah. No, it's just forcing you to click, isn't it?
Yeah. But one of the worst things is when you go to read a story and you get a full page ad on your iPhone and you can't see the story. And you can't click it away. And if you do, it sometimes goes back to the original link. So you have to link it again. You get another advert. And in the end, you go, oh, I don't really need this anymore. Just full page adverts, completely blocking everything.
Yeah.
And annoying.
I remember MacKeeper sponsoring the Cirque du Mac.
Porn sites.
No, they sponsored Cirque du Mac 1 year. The year I was at Macworld, and
oh, I remember that.
I was kind of like, oh man, this ain't gonna wash off. And it was like, I felt really sorry for Dave Hamilton because he was walking around trying to tell everyone that MacKeeper people weren't a bunch of wankers. It's just like, yeah, go on then, mate. Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
There is another story. It's linked to this one though. Well, I did put it in Slack room the other day about Facebook. Are heavily slanting so that their adverts come to the top of the pile first, particularly on searching.
Oh, Google is saying that as well, though. There was a report the other day saying that Google links come up back first, but I mean, why wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, but I mean...
Their platform,
Google was doing that for a while. Google was gaming their own system, but they stopped. So if they're doing something where the links are taking precedence again, someone's going to come down on them hard.
I think the monopolistic behaviour thing's really valid, but there's a certain point that if someone's asking for something and you provide it, because of the fact that you're providing all of the web space that is providing that information free of charge, then to elevate your own content isn't the end of the world. I know the European Union
probably
disagree.
As long as you're making it very clear what you've done.
Yeah, so, this is a Google link.
People don't feel duped.
Hmm.
But in terms of duped, in inverted commas, there's a lot of people out there doing an awful lot worse things than just touting their own goods, which...
Yeah, that's true.
I like the fact that they've taken down stuff that is harmful. One of the things we get regularly is we get an email from someone, or lots of people, and they say, oh, we're working with this firm and we'd like to have an article that we'd like to place on your blog. Please, could you do it? We're willing to pay you $25.
It was $27.
$27, yeah. Sorry, my mistake.
Yeah. Or you're the 1,000th person to our website, you've won an iPhone.
No. So the people write to us and they say, we want you to put an article on your blog that says this. We'll send you the content and we'll pay you $27 for doing it. And a girl wrote to me the week Jake was here, and I put, okay, I'm sorry, but if this article is for an advert, for a service or for something else, then that's illegal in the UK. We can't do it. So she wrote and she said, no, it's not illegal. We'll send you the entire copy. All you have to do is put it in. And I'm like, no, it is illegal. It's still illegal. We won't be doing it. So she wrote back and she said, we'd be willing to give you $27 for it.
Wow.
And I said, I can't remember what her name was, Kathy.
Katie.
I said, Katie, I don't get out of bed for $27 and it's still illegal. Whether you bribe me or not. Never heard back from her. But I got another one from another one that was weighted exactly the same today, so.
They caved in for $29.
Yeah. But there's tons of that. And the ASA will prosecute. If they're seeing British websites trolling by showing advertorial content that's not clearly identified as an advertisement, they will prosecute. So be warned, anyone that's listening that's got a British web page. You mustn't do it. And Google, the Google, to go back to the Google story, we've got the Advertising Standards Authority here in the UK, and they're very toothful. They do chase stuff. They do get ads taken down. They do respond to consumer complaints very heavily. America hasn't got that. Have you got anything at all, Jeff, where consumers are protected from rampantly, horrifically long, wrong ads?
Yeah, it's not as restrictive as what you have, but if you're running advertorial content, what's the other term that they're using? It's like native advertising or something like that. It's some stupid term, but it needs to be clearly identified as such.
Right.
Or is it the editorial advertising?
Advertorials, aye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not good. Adam says, I've seen that Google is doing that. Isn't that a breach of competition laws by manipulating adverts to give your own products an advantage? It's not. It's a line return rather than an advert. So search results. But, I mean, equally, if that's almost like saying Google can never have line one on a search return.
Mm.
Because they're clearly promoting their own content. If they do, it might actually come back at line one. So,
right.
You know, who knows? I'm pleased that they're doing something, though. I think that's really positive that they've taken down stuff to stop people being tricked.
Yeah.
Good on them. Well done, Google. But advertising is broken. The internet's broken because of adverts. Good one. Next one. Bronwyn's put a link in the chat room. She said piehole.net. They've got, if you go there is a life hacker thing that says create a network-wide ad blocker with a Raspberry Pi that you can stick straight on your network.
Ooh.
So that's worth watching. Have a look at that. It's in the chat room. If you want to know any of the links that we go through on the show today, then all you've got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate to the 26th of January, and you'll see all of the conversations that have taken place today. All the links from the chat, from the Mac show will be in there, and all the links from the big show will be in there as well. Just click on them. Tez has already jumped in, and it's is that your story, so, Tez, or is that?
I actually, excuse me. I actually thought that you'd chosen the same story as me, but it's not quite the same. So mine's about the fake news. And this is kind of going on to a lot of links at the moment. I mean, a lot of different websites talking about the fake news. So you might remember about the so-called Ukrainian news articles that were popping up online. So basically they were being paid to support Donald Trump and what's the word I'm looking for? Slander? Slander? Is that probably the word?
Hillary.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. There's actually an article in the Telegraph I'll paste in there as well, which is, it really kind of attacks the Russians for doing exactly this. So Google seems it's taken a stance on it, as has Facebook as well. So they've written some special algorithm to tackle it. And it's quite interesting, actually, that you chose the article about, you know, Google taking down fake ads or irrelevant ones, but more specifically these fake news articles that are my brain's a bit scattered today. What's the word I'm looking for?
Well, you're expecting a baby,
yeah,
mate.
Wait till the baby comes.
Yeah, that's it. Propaganda. That's the word I'm looking for. It's like neo-propaganda. And it's bad, you know. And it makes you wonder, kind of casting our minds back to Brexit, you know, how much of the news we saw online was any of that real? Of course some of it was real. But, you know, were we seeing kind of clickbaited material to make us think one way or another? It does make you wonder.
For sure. I mean, the problem that you've got, I think, is that savvy people are... there's not enough people out there who are savvy to question the stuff that goes in there. And certainly things like statistics, there is no one out there looking at statistics. If you quote a statistic, and even if you quote a source for that statistic, you should be still talking about standard deviations of accuracy within that statistic. And if the article hasn't got it, then you shouldn't be saying it's a decent article. It has to give standard, you know, 8 out of 10 cats prefer whiskers. Well, no, 8 out of 10 cats with a standard deviation of plus or minus 100% is still a correct statement, even if no cats like whiskers.
My cat don't like whiskers.
Sorry, Tyler.
No, I mean, it, going back to use Terry's word from earlier on, I have a vagina is a perfectly correct statement, plus or minus 100% of a standard deviation. I have one vagina. It's a correct statement. Because there is no standard deviation.
You do have one vagina. You just happen to keep it on your wife.
Oh, God. Let's move on swiftly. I'm going to do enough shit with my wife for the title of the Max Show.
Oh, I had another joke, but I couldn't say it.
What was the title? What was the title of the Max Show?
The title of the Max Show was Ewan's Wife Has a Small Peener.
Oh. So, Ewan, I do have a couch if you need a place to sleep.
Thanks, mate. We'll have so much fun that week I'm there.
Oh my God, we'll be lucky to remember the week. We'll need someone to film it so we can see what happened.
No, Jesus, that doesn't need pictures.
good point.
The I have no clue what I was talking about. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, so statistics.
Propaganda.
People look at tweets and they see a picture on it and they think it's real. They don't question it. And they see statistics and they don't question it. And then they see statistics with sources and they should still be questioning it, but they don't.
But wasn't there something online that said that most people forwarding those crap stories on Facebook weren't even reading them? They were just sharing them. So
really?
they just look at the title and push share. I agree with that. Oh, share. They didn't actually read them.
That's what people do on their wall anyway. You know, you just kind of walk past someone in a pub and they're on their phone waiting for someone and you just see them tapping like you kind of question whether they even saw what it was they were liking.
I've got a friend like that who I constantly have to prove that he's wrong.
Oh, he's got issues though, mate.
He's an idiot.
He's got other issues, yeah.
I've got a friend that's constantly proving me wrong on Facebook. It's really annoying.
Friend in inverted commas.
Oh, no, I'm not going into that subject. But
the trouble is, you get a polarisation, don't you? So it's the... you get me who sits there and is sceptical of everything, therefore, and when something is real, I'm still calling it sceptical when it's not, because of the fact I've been so polarised in one direction. And you look
That's
at the, I mean, this week I have taken to absolutely hatcheting my Twitter account of follows to anyone that puts anything up about Trump at all. Now, before we get any further and anyone writes me emails, I think the bloke is probably the friggin' Antichrist. I am not a fan in the slightest, but I can't cope with all the stuff that's going on where people just vitriolically post something. And because it's mindless what they're posting. Oh, well, of course, he didn't raise his hand at this moment during the inauguration, so that means he's the Antichrist. He might actually be the Antichrist, but him not raising his hand at that moment isn't what causes it. You know, it's that. And the other thing I've got a real problem with is the fact the American people are going to get him for a second term if they're not careful, because all the little nitpicking and sniping is just going to do nothing but entrench. Oh yeah, they're just going to entrench all of the people that support him, because they're not picking at him with something that will make them go, oh, hang on, that's a good point.
Hey, can he be the Antichrist when there's no God?
So you know what I mean. Be a little optimistic. It's very possible that our country won't even exist in 4 years at the rate we're going.
Well, you might no, that's not true. You might be a state of Mexico.
Mm-mm. You'd be a pariah state,
better than
probably.
What's happening right now?
Yeah, Juarez is going to move north, mate.
Canada are building a wall. Canada's population is going to go up by 90 million.
Where do you live? I live in the United States of Mexico.
Well, there was an article on one of the shows I watch in the mornings, and apparently more Mexicans are leaving US than actually entering at the moment. So,
Bennett, 31 minutes 40 seconds. I need to take out 10 minutes of audio.
Through the next 4 years. I'm going to be drinking so much just to cope.
You'll probably get waterboarded.
Watching my country crumble around me.
But I don't think you are.
Oh, yeah. It's bad.
Mate, there's checks and balances.
Not anymore.
Yeah, there is.
Well, there's checks and balances, but no one is enforcing them.
What did you feel when Bush Jr. was in?
We don't have.
Was it the same feeling?
What was the feeling? What
was it? The same feeling when Bush Jr. was in?
I don't think he was as bad.
No, it was scary when Bush Jr. was in, but there wasn't this sense of, well, we're done for,
impending doom.
But yeah, the impending doom, like the genuine fear of a nuclear attack, we didn't have that when Bush Jr. was in office.
You're not going to get a nuclear attack.
Yeah, because he loves the Russians.
There are people that are genuinely concerned about a nuclear attack.
Nah.
And
I say you lock up all the commies.
Nah.
Stuff
all the commies writing TV shows.
There's no way they'll start a nuclear war, because that's mad.
And it's also nothing to do with technology, although I guarantee that, okay, fair enough, there is a good point. Let's move on. Terry.
Yes.
What was your story again?
One that I think we're contributing to here in our discussion. But no, it was on fake news.
Nothing that we've said is real at all, if you're listening, by the way.
For clarifying.
So
except for the fact that you and I are going to have an awesome time when he comes out to visit. That's an absolute fact.
That's a fact. No question. Me and Spirit Hound are going to be in love. That's not my pet name for Jeff, by the way. That's a place where you get alcohol. So just
amazing alcohol.
I don't know what anyone's going to do about this fake news stuff, because it's Twitter is, I mean, Twitter is just a pointless excuse now for a trading of words. And, it's got a lot better since I've culled people that were sharing shit stories. But there'll still be shit stories out there. They're not going to go anywhere. And I don't know.
No. Well, I mean, the Facebook... there's a headline here. Facebook fights fake news with trending algorithm update. So that one's on rt.com. There was another one quite similar on... The Telegraph as well, with the same article, where they are trying to tackle it. And again, you know, Google's banned 200 publishers with its new policy on fake news. You know, it's going to be one of those things that's going to be very difficult to catch, because you've got to catch it as it's happening, you know.
But then you get the conspiracy theory saying they're only taking it down because it's true.
Yes.
Well, but they all live in a...
Because that's what my mate will say. He'll say, you're only taking it down because it's a conspiracy. So you can't win either way.
I know.
And you said the trending, I don't understand how the trending algorithm works though, Terry, because that, it surely the, one of the problems with fake news is the fact that it follows the old Twain missive about the fact that you know, the liars has been around the world before the truth has got its shoes on. As once it starts to trend, it goes viral, and that doesn't give it authenticity, it just gives it viralness. And I don't understand how the algorithm will pick it out as being truthful or untruthful. Mm.
It's like the virus warnings, aren't they? They keep popping up, and you know, and there was one was passed around, and I went, well, that's from 2005. I'm sure they've patched Windows by now. I can't remember what it was, but that's the typical thing that keeps coming up. People regurgitate stuff from years ago.
Great point from Adam in the chat room here. He's saying, with all the fake news, what are you going to do about satire? Because that satire is deliberately fake news, isn't it?
That's a good question.
And satire, I mean, Saturday Night Live, their website's going to be taken down next week then.
Yeah, what about The Onion or The Borowitz Report?
Yeah. The Poke? Yeah, no, that is a really good point. What do you do with that?
But they're obviously, though, they're deliberately doing it, though, aren't they? So you should realise that they're deliberate rather than trying to deceive.
You're trying to assume that people are clever.
Think people are going to be able to figure that out?
Well, a safe list of publishers in that algorithm would sort that. But, yeah, I mean, smart people figuring that out, normal people figuring that out, yeah.
Fake news has always been there, says Camps. It's just social media that's made it a wider audience. I agree with that, but it's the reach and the... That is the problem, is the proliferation of it. It's not the fact that there is a fake story there. It's the fact of how much credence it gets in such a short space of time. Satch also says, I've kind of heard the folks that I'm following on Facebook, folks that I'm following on Facebook, because I don't want them to come loose a bit, because I don't want them to go out and loose again, a lot of other things. And that's exactly what I think. And that's exactly why I've unfollowed a lot of people who have followed a lot of all this shit, who might actually like all this shit. I actually like that, I can't stand them. But now I can't stand them. I can stand them, but I can't stand what they're posting.
There's a story that was in The Sun. I don't read The Sun, but it came up on social media about that bloke who was taking the mickey out of that glamour model's son, the 15-year-old that's disabled, and he's blind and everything, and apparently he'd been trolling him. They've actually put his picture in the paper, and he don't care. And some of the things he's been saying about Katie and her son, absolutely vile.
Good story, Terry. Well done, mate. That's called an edit point.
Phil, you'll never let us tell that story again.
Liquor's not.
What happened there? Awesome sound now. This is the BTN network, mate. You don't need to ask that question. What happened there? Because none of us friggin' know. Come on then, Muller, your story. Feds can't use US warrants to grab foreign data, says the Irish Appeals Court.
Ah, yes. Apparently, this goes back to 2013. The American Circuit Court handed Microsoft a warrant, that word, warrant, to secure data off their server. Unfortunately, the server was based in Ireland, and Microsoft went, no, your warrant's only relevant to the United States of America. And they disagreed, but it's been gone through the Irish courts now, and they agree, American warrants are for America. If you want to get anything off our servers, you're going to have to go through the normal process of an international warrant or whatever. And I think this is going to cause a few problems. As I think, I don't know if it is going to happen, but I can see something like the current president saying, bring your data back home then.
I don't understand how this got this far.
Wow. Well, it can, because obviously the Americans wanted the data and Microsoft said, no, it's in Ireland, it's international. And I think doesn't Data Protection Act cover it as well? So they got to protect the data.
Well, yeah, the protection of the data from the European Union would cover it, but yeah. I don't think it even needed to get that far, though. That's what it's like. You know, it's like saying a cop in the States can issue a speeding ticket in Ireland. Can he bollocks?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to read the legal forms, but they were very complicated. Borough Barrister will have to have a look at them, see what he says about them. But it does look like the Americans were intending, they wanted that information, and they were running roughshod over Irish law.
Americans? Running roughshod over legal process? No, I won't hear it.
Total shock.
But anyway...
Hard to believe.
Jesus.
It's been held up as a win for privacy, but I have a feeling there's going to be a backlash, and I can see the Americans going, well, bring your data back home then.
They can't.
Well,
no, it's already there.
It's put the genie back in the bottle.
Well, yeah.
Well, they could say the American data has to come home. You can't keep European data in America. You shouldn't be able to, anyway.
It doesn't mean it's actually going to happen.
You can't. No. I mean, that's a concept that really shows what a Luddite would think of what the internet is about. I mean, every email you send has probably been through 10 countries before it reaches the bloke on the computer next to you.
Of course it has. Yeah.
To be fair, Luddite is an appropriate word to use for a substantial part of our country's leadership right now. At least as far as technology goes.
I've got to say, actually, the amount of the population that I've seen of your country in the last few days with some of the tweets that have been coming out, you've got some people to be really ashamed of there, mate.
To be honest, it's not just America,
no,
mate.
No kidding.
Yeah, we've got a few here as well.
And people wonder why I'm drinking so much and why I'm so glad I still have my Valium prescription.
Yeah, no.
Or not Valium, Vicodin. I have Vicodin.
But the thing is, the thing that annoys me the most is the fact there are mechanisms for dealing with foreign governments for judicial effect, for, you know, judicial mm-hmm. issues. What on earth makes America believe that it doesn't have to follow those protocols that have been long-standing? I mean, you're talking about protocols that go back 200 plus to 300 years in some cases for how to deal with other organizations or other countries from a legal perspective. And they work because they've been used and they do work. And if they'd have followed the legal process that was laid down, the chances are within 6 months they would have had the data. Whereas here they are 3 years down the line and they've just been told, nope, sorry, you've gone about this the wrong way.
Yeah. I'm just trying to read the rest of the submission again, but it's too much. You'll have to read it yourself. But
it's 60 pages, Mother.
Yeah. I know. But I was trying to read the...
Read faster.
I was trying to read the bit that actually makes much sense. It was about the court decision about domestic warrants. And if it's a domestic warrant, surely that's the name, the clue is in the name. It's a domestic warrant.
Yeah,
have I said something funny?
Yeah, no, it is. It's like a domestic warrant.
It's a domestic warrant. You state something obvious. It was just...
We're going to issue an international warrant, but it's going to be called a domestic warrant. They'll never see it coming.
Yeah, but I'm trying to understand the argument of the US court, and I just can't get my head around their argument. So I'm not surprised it failed, but it took 3 years. Well, nearly four.
Campion suggesting that in an hour or two, an Oompa Loompa will sign an executive order that will allow this to occur. Camps, I think you're still wrong, but never mind.
Well, he can't circumvent European law, which is what's going to basically say that...
Yeah, Deepan saying that the legal argument was that the server was owned by a US company, therefore it could be requested. But Microsoft... I'll lay you money that Microsoft is not a US company in Ireland. I bet it's got its own legal setup for accountancy and for the purposes of storage and for the purposes of the rental for the building and all that kind of stuff. And the franchising that goes through that for tax purposes is going to be horrific. That's not that simple.
No, Apple does the same thing in Ireland.
And so they should.
Yeah, lots of companies do. And yeah, they would be stupid not to do that in Ireland.
The case centred on a customer of Microsoft in Ireland who was accused of drug charges. Microsoft had spent the last 2 years battling US prosecutors over the customer's data held in its Dublin data centre.
What they had to do is go to the Irish police. They could have got a warrant for the Irish courts and got the data.
The only thing that I thought that was quite interesting is that this was a split decision in the Irish Supreme Court of 4-4, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the original decision was...
Oh, no, sorry. The Second Circuit Court of Appeals in New York was split 4-4 in a vote on Tuesday, leaving the early decision as the delivery. Yeah.
Well, they lost in Ireland anyway. But it's quite interesting. I mean, it's going to rumble on, I think. It's going to appeal, apparently, so... So it's one for the books.
Government
one to keep an eye on.
Internet.
Just on that that subject about my servers in the US, can the US use my have my data? So I just thought I'd Google that while we were were talking about it, and on a similar actually on ZNet as well, the or ZNet depending on where you're from. No, ZNet. That's right. Yeah. So they're saying yes, they can spy on EU cloud data. So when I searched for, what did I search for? So my data is in the US. Is it susceptible to US warrant?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is that when you sign up for Facebook and that, you sign a clause, don't you, to say that you're happy for your data to leave the EU?
Oh.
So you've got to be careful. I mean, if you sign the contract, you're saying that my data can go to America, because by law, unless you opt out, they can't take your data out of the country till certain Article 50. But then what happens then? Because they're going to have to replace that with something.
You made the Article 50 bit up, didn't you?
Okay,
it sounded good, though.
You didn't say it with any conviction,
Article,
mate. That's
Article 50, isn't that what they... Brexit?
Yeah, that's what you triggered to leave the EU. Yeah. You just made that up.
I did, yeah.
Totally made it up.
But,
rumbled.
But then what happened to the Data Protection Act? Because that's currently EU law.
No, it's not. It's British law, because it's an
British
act.
British law, yeah.
Yeah, but...
There'll be a directive on data somewhere.
Hopefully.
The Human Rights Act would probably... the Human Rights...
Well, they want to get rid of that, don't
they? The OCR are going to tell you that the stuff you can't do with people's data.
Yeah, but they want to opt out the HD, the Human Rights...
It doesn't matter what we want to do. It is at the moment, all right?
Oh, at the moment, yeah.
So my server's sitting in the Netherlands right now.
So it's covered by...
If anyone in the UK wanted that data, could they get it?
Yeah.
Because we're still part of the EU, is that what it is?
Yeah, you could just get a PACE order. Well, you'd probably go through Interpol, though.
I don't think it's that simple to get anyone's data anywhere, even in the UK, but it gets easier if you're in the country of sovereignty, most certainly, and it gets exponentially harder the further away you get, and the less pending agreements there are.
I think it's quite easy. It's just more complicated.
That's what I've just said, isn't it?
I mean, it's easy not to get
the hurdles that you have to go through become more convoluted.
Well, you just use the Data Protection Act, don't you, and you should get it. As long as you follow
the
letter.
No, because the Data Protection Act doesn't apply outside of UK shores or Europe.
No. It's UK only law.
This is the point, and the thing is, the question's got to beg where the data has passed through in order to come to reside. If Wrighty sends data to his server, it doesn't go from Norwich to that server. It's got to go to a central node somewhere that may be in Europe. It might not be in Europe. It might go to New York and then come back to the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what you're looking for is where it eventually resides.
No, the law doesn't give a shit about that. If it can find traces of it in other servers, then they would issue warrants for those other servers.
Of course they would.
They've got to find that it's there, though. That's the trouble. I can't see it as being a simple process. And it's not. There isn't a black... I mean, you should know, there is no black and white answers in law anyway.
If it was a simple process, the government would have already had the Microsoft data that's on the servers in Ireland.
Yeah.
They would.
Well, the easiest way would be to liaise with the Irish police.
But they haven't done that. That's my point.
That's the problem, yeah. They should.
I mean, this is the one thing I learned when I was 19. I parked my car where it said, do not park your car. And then I said, well, I'm only going to be 15 minutes. So I came back 15 minutes later. I got a ticket. I was like, oh, you bastards. Rather than thinking, actually, it did say, don't park your car here. So you would expect our law enforcement agencies to go, tell you what, should we just say, oi, give us it, or else... or should we follow the protocol that was established by governments over the last 40 years that says, here's how you get data from, or here's how you get evidence from another sovereign nation? Let me think.
They could probably just go to GCHQ and get it.
You're not Brighton. Yeah, NSA will make a copy.
Library of Congress.
Should have just gone to them. Yeah. Jeffrey, do you have a story for us?
I do. And I made a point to make sure that my story is not political in nature.
Well, that's what the rest of them did.
So, there is a computer system that's been tested that is diagnosing people with, you know, for whatever their illness is. And it's not something that's being used out in the wild yet. It's like a proof of concept. But the idea is that you can have a computer that just kind of watches you and then can diagnose what's wrong with you over time. And I'm kind of thinking, on one hand, this is cool, but on the other hand, do I want to have a computer trying to figure out what's wrong with me when there's so many nuances to the way humans function? You kind of need to have a human touch in there too.
I don't disagree with that statement, but I think computers are, or the patterns of human decay and the pathology of disease is probably fairly consistent, isn't it? As in, you know, you absorb the virus in a certain way, it then transmutes in a certain way, metastasizes in a certain way if it's a cancer, or is absorbed into the system and produces antibodies or antigens in a certain way. That's consistent. I would have thought if you know what you're looking for.
Yeah, if you know what you're looking for.
Isn't this about skin cancer?
It has potential to be really cool. I'm also wondering, will people be reticent to trust this because right now it's using the Google neural network to do its thing?
That's different.
Yeah, now with the way our medical privacy laws stand, at least today in this country, that information would have to stay private. But you know, laws can change, and computer servers can be hacked, and data can leak. So, I mean, it does concern me that while a system like this could eventually learn enough to be stunningly effective at being able to diagnose disease and other illness, how safe will all that data be?
It's anonymized, though, isn't it, I suppose? But it's only getting
so.
Its trend information from large databases saying person X, person Y, the following after 9 months, after 6 months, after 8 months, or whatever. But, I mean, all of these systems fall down rapidly if you haven't got big data.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you definitely need big data to make something like this work.
I love the picture. This is Andre at his computer, according to the graphic. And I love the fact that Andre's just had a flake, look, for lunch. He's sitting there with all his data going through, going, only the crumbliest flake. And it's on a book, look. And I can't tell what the book is, but it's like, I hope that's not the important book that you have to get out from underneath the monitor.
You have this display just sitting on it.
And he's like, I'm not saying there's budget cuts, but I ain't taking the cellophane off my monitor on the right in case I have to send it back. I've only just got this from Amazon. I might have to send it back yet.
That is special monitor.
A special
monitor.
He's got an old set of cable wired headphones as well, look. Yeah.
And he's drunk all his water.
Yeah. Andre's
now I
kind of
wish I could tell what that book is.
Yeah, I've got the original image here, and I can't zoom in far enough to see what it is.
Oh,
it's your. I know it looks like Bros, doesn't it?
It looks like June.
June, you think it's June? No,
is it Farscape?
It's like Bros. It's the Bros biography.
Bros biography.
What if it's clean code. Could be clean code. They use like kind of those kind of images on their books.
Jeffrey's really upset because he's the only one that brought a sensible story. Look,
is that a widget he grew up on top of it?
No, now I'm just totally fixed on this book.
It's definitely a flake. Yeah. It's definitely a flake, I would have said.
But no, that's a packet of biscuits.
It's M&M's. It's a packet of peanut M&M's.
Really?
I think you're right. I think that's peanut M&M's.
Because, oh, no.
Jelly babies, possibly.
I know what flake is, and you have to know what stores to go to find them here. They're just not... It's not something that you can walk into any store and pick up like a crappy Hershey bar.
Wow, that was a good story. They were talking about the wrapper.
You can screw off.
He's on Ubuntu.
Yeah,
you can see the Ubuntu on the second monitor down the side. Idiot.
Oh, traitor.
Easy.
He's not a real developer.
No.
Easy Linux hater.
Oh, that's funny. I thought on the second display he had a Slack window open, but he'd lost his network connection.
Oh, yeah. See that? That's good.
Isn't this thing just looking at the actual colour of the skin, though, for the cancer? It's just about cancer, really, isn't it? About skin cancer? Taking it back to the story.
That's a start. Yeah.
Because my wife's an ex-cancer nurse, so I do know a little bit about cancers and that. And, I mean, all it's going to do, if it goes through thousands of pictures, it could probably flick out people that definitely need to be seen first by the doctor, and then somebody with it then look through the rest.
My dad has a thing called a rodent ulcer on his nose, which is a cancer, and it basically is called a rodent ulcer because it just burrows in, and it just burrows until there's nothing left, like a rodent. But she said the woman was there looking at this ulcer before he was going in. He's having it fixed next week. And she said, oh, it's got classic characteristics of a rodent ulcer. And I said, oh, sorry, could you just point out what those characteristics are?
Yeah.
And everything she pointed out was visual. None of it was touch. She didn't say, oh, I feel it's scaly or something like that.
Yeah.
She said, you can see there's like a mother of pearl type effect on the outer part. I'm like, oh, yeah, I see that. She said, so that's the way it looks. So clearly the way that the light is being reflected and mother of pearl type effects would be something that you would very easily pick up with a algorithm, I would have thought. She said, it's classic oval shape as well. It's not round. And you can see that the edges go up like a crater and then down in the centre. So yeah. that ring around the outside, and I'm like, oh, right, cool, yeah. So again, all of that is, and I would have thought visual stuff like that is pretty easy to kind of put into, I mean, you could probably get fairly close without an algorithm with big data behind it to pick up that kind of stuff. If you've got, and she said all rodent ulcers look like that. They're just different sizes. So once you're ignoring scale, it should be fairly easy.
Well, hasn't the Apple Watch saved a few people's lives?
That's the arrhythmic heart thing, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, it is.
So, yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's going...
Yeah, it's good.
Because quite a few of the watches now link to the health app. And I know my doctor can see my health app through the app, because my doctor's got this app, this health app. And it links the Apple Health app to it.
But, I mean, there's a point here from Adam. He says, I'd never trust a computer to diagnose illness. But that's not what this article's saying. This is saying, this is raise the alarm.
Yeah.
Would you trust a computer to raise the alarm? Well, based on the fact there isn't enough people to view data, and you can get this, and this is a trending thing, isn't it? So it starts off with looking at you when you're healthy, and it looks at you regularly until the point that you're not healthy. I'd rather have that than a person.
Well, it's the first diagnosis, isn't it, to get you to... seek further advice, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is working before you're pooping blood.
It's like a paper sift, isn't it? In effect. So it's throwing out the ones, look, I think you need to look at these first, and then look at these and put them, it's putting them in some sort of order, isn't it? These ones at the top, I'm really worried about.
Well, you go to your doctor's surgery, and if you look at, you look up on the leaflets and the things that are on the wall, they're always like, this and that, they're... you've got to look for this, or are you experiencing this and that? And yeah, they said if you experience this, talk to your doctor. You know, and this is just doing the same thing.
Yeah, instead of you looking for it, it's looking for it.
Yeah, so it's good. It's good, really good.
Yeah, I like this. I think it's a good story, Jeff. I think I quite like this idea of the fact that you get scanned over by a computer.
Yeah.
Check that.
You know, now that we've been talking through it, I've gone from kind of skeptical to thinking, yeah, this is actually a good thing. on board.
It's not gonna. It's not actually diagnosing you. It's just. I think it's just say, just like doing a paper sift, weeding out the ones that are, maybe should be looked at first, and then.
No, this thing's from what the I didn't really.
And they're pretty accurate.
Yeah, the idea of this is the fact that you submit yourself to it, and it constantly you're constantly going for a check, so it notices change. Mm. So it's comparing it against big data and comparing against comparable data from the previous visits. So, oh, it's good. It seems real good. Yep. I got no problem with this at all. The one we should have had on the show to talk about that is Patrice, because that's what his firm does. So.
To bring it back
on. That would have been awesome.
Patrice's firm does medical diagnosis-y type stuff, because he came over some really good stuff that week. He came over and spent the weekend with this all. So, yeah. We'll ask him what he thinks next week, eh? This show and all the others is brought to you by you, Kate, too. We love them to bits. Please, please, please check them out and please support them. Because they look after us, they got us for the next 7 years, no question. And they pick up all the data. You can watch all the shows going back to the Bagel Tech days, and you get off your basket and stuff like that. If you go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, you'll find out what those codes are. And you can apply them whether you're a new customer or a returning customer. It doesn't make any difference. Please take the opportunity to tweet out and say thanks at UK2 for supporting at British Tech, because it does make a big difference to us, and it's good that they know that you're watching and you're returning and you're buying. Please use the click-throughs and all that kind of stuff, even if you just want to sign into your account. And also, please make sure you thank Hoya_UK on Twitter. Uniku is closing in. I will be going to get my face scanned so that I can have my unique glasses made. I'm looking forward to this like you wouldn't believe. I haven't slept thinking about getting me new glasses made. But if you're thinking, hang on, I don't want the frames, I like the ones that you've got that have got the nice clear outer rids and it just clips on, then that's the Avantech frames. You can get those made by Hoya. And we've had a couple of people over Christmas who've written and gone, oh, just to let you know, I've had me Hoya Avantechs made and I really love them. Thanks very much, Ewan. And I forwarded them all on to Mark and said, just FYI, Ego, you've had a few people that have done it. And he's like, wow, that's cool. But none of these people contacted us. The whole point of them supporting BTN and BTN being sponsors with them is the fact that they want you to get in touch and say, I'm thinking about having a set of Hoya spectacles, because they're going to help you get through that whole process and make sure so that they can tell you what it's all about, so you'll know what the experience is like, and then you can go out and tell everyone how great the experience was. So don't be reticent about getting in touch. podcast@hoya.co.uk or Hoya_UK on Twitter, and talk to them. Get some information from them. Let them guide you through the process, darling.
Let them lend you a hand.
Hold your hand, even.
Lend you a hand.
Lend you a hand.
Lend you a hand.
I'll be learning English next week. Time for the cool thing. Terry.
So, my cool thing is Pokemon Duel.
Go on.
Okay, so Pokemon Duel is the follow-up to Pokemon Go, except it's a strategy game. So I think it's kind of cool that, you know...
You're the right age to remember Pokemon on the TV first time round, though, aren't you?
That is absolutely true.
Yeah, I'm not.
I went to the cinema and watched the Mewtwo film as well. I probably shouldn't admit that, but yeah, that was awesome. Probably not anymore. But anyway, yeah, so if you are into Pokemon, this is the Pokemon Duel game where you have these little characters, and it's kind of like chess, but on a weird kind of board thing.
Nothing like the Pokemon movie.
Nothing like it, sadly, no. That would be cool. But that actually, so although it is the cool thing, that is the disappointing thing, is that I was kind of hoping for kind of like the game, the Pokemon Go, where you have the schools and you've got to actually like battle someone in real life. This is more strategic, and you've got to move pieces and put them in the right places. But it's still fun. It's still cool. And it's new. I think it's only just hit the stores like today, actually.
Excellent. And will you have played it more than half an hour?
I will have not have played it for more than half an hour, no. But I have played it for actually about half an hour.
Well, there you go.
There you go. I thought it was cool. So there you go. That was my cool thing today.
Does it integrate with Pokemon Go? So do you play with the Pokemon you catch? Or is it standalone and you just...
I went through the tutorials and kind of got through to, like, this is your stack, this is your the characters that you have, and no, so unfortunately right. not.
That's a bit shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's that cool anymore, actually, Ewan.
Cha-ching on the name, and then they've got you, sling your hook. Not interested.
Well, there's my bonfire adequately pissed on.
Sorry, mate, no, I didn't mean to. I was interested to see if it interlinked with the existing franchise.
No, I'm just messing. I actually agree with you. That is a shame that they haven't done that. I mean, so I don't know what you can see on the screen there, but those are the figures you kind of just start off with.
Is it the same developer, though?
Yeah, it's Niantic.
Yeah.
Because there was a story, wasn't it, that they nicked the code off hackers because it worked so well.
So that was about the game. So they got a ROM, and it was actually on Mario, I think. I'll try and find the article and paste it in the chat. Mario.
Cool. Well done, mate. Good pick. Love it. Jeff, what's your cool thing, mate?
My cool thing is surprisingly totally family safe today.
That's the first.
I know. It's a laptop bag. I have right here. I figure if I'm going to tell you it's good, I better try it out. So this is a bag from Waterfield Design. So it's a waxed canvas with a leather pouch on the front. And they designed it to hold like a smaller MacBook, so a MacBook or a MacBook Air. But my 15-inch MacBook Pro fits in here, no problem. And what do I have in here now? Right now I have my iPad Pro, and there's a magnetic latch system on the top here. So when it closes, it actually stays shut.
That's good.
And then the leather pouch on the front has a magnetic closure. And it has enough space. Well, right now I have a notepad, a pen, Apple Pencil, headphones, and looks like that's it right now. But a couple days ago, I was also carrying an Ethernet adapter and the power supply for my MacBook Pro and my sunglasses. And it'll hold all that stuff nicely, and it doesn't look like it's all bloated and puffed out. Even when you pack that side pocket, it's a really nice bag. I'm very pleased with it. And it's the side SYD MacBook case.
Okay.
And it's like $160. So yes, you're paying some serious money for it, but it's a really good bag, and you get your money's worth out of it.
Did you have to buy that, or did you get that free? Come on, full disclosure.
I did not buy it. They asked me if I would take a look at one of their bags, and I told them what equipment I had, and I said, you better send me something impressive.
And they have.
This is what showed up. And yeah, I'm very impressed with the bag.
Excellent, mate. Good.
If they hadn't sent it to me, it's a bag that I would have totally been comfortable just buying.
Yeah, no, it does look nice, I have to say. But I'm a sucker for bags, mate. I am. I'm really, really awful.
So am I. I totally have this bag fetish, and I really like this bag. What I was using to carry like my iPad Pro around was just a plain old nylon pouch bag thing, and this just looks so much nicer. And I love the whole waxed canvas with leather combo. It's pretty nice.
Excellent, mate. Good one. I like that. Righty boy, what have you got?
Well, it's a game, and the thing I like about games is it's not just iOS. It's iOS, it's Android, it's Windows, it's Mac and Linux, which is interesting. And it's a game called, it's been around for a while, but I downloaded it over Christmas when it was an offer. It's called Octodad, Dadliest Catch.
That's a great game.
Yeah, so Terry knows what it is. So the premise behind the game is that, I'll put the link in the chat room. There's a chap, and he's an octopus. He's married, he's got two kids, and he leads his life in a normal way, and no one seems to notice he's an octopus. that there's a dodgy French chef out there who knows he's an octopus and he's trying to kill him, cook him, and eat him. The thing I love about it is, one, the controls, you know, controlling octopus is not the easiest thing to do in the world. It's a great game. But the thing is, it actually came from a student project that they did in university. And I'll put a second link in the chat room now, which is a link to the original game.
I'm watching the video, and he only has four tentacles.
I was going to say that he's a quadrupus.
No, he's got two in the feet and two in the arms. That's how he fits in his suit.
Oh, okay.
He's a clever, but no one notices. But this is just like the weirdest game in the world. But if you follow the storyline, it's kind of heartbreaking at the same time. But it's just that, you know, some people who just did this as a project for the part of their university degree, and they've come out with this game that is so addictive. And because they're like proper nerds, they've released it on every platform you can get. It's $4.99 at the moment. I think I got it for $2.99, I think, over Christmas. But absolutely amazing game. Really, really enjoyable.
Right, okay. Interesting. I shall have to give that a go.
Mm.
Good one. Muller.
Oh, drum roll.
It's the Winning Steel HD.
I'll put my mic back on. It's I've only had it 8 hours.
And you're picking it already.
And you can tell because it has a clock face.
Yeah. unlike the Apple Watch, 25-day battery. And then it can last another 20 days after that. Don't have to tell it you're going to go for a swim or you're sleeping. It automatically detects it. Does all your other stuff. HR links with the health app, works with iOS. And it was seamless. I will be doing a proper review once I've used it for a bit. But we'll probably get one for Mr. Batwench because he's had it a bit longer as well. But lovely piece of kit, but I've only had it a few hours. But 40mm and the watch strap, everyone take a deep breath, fits Ewan. Oh,
wow.
I can't really say too much about it yet, because I've only worn it for 8 hours. It's only arrived this morning. But at the moment, it's looking pretty good. But the battery life is going to be quite impressive, and I will be testing that in later date.
Excellent, mate.
Yeah.
Really good, like that.
How much does it cost?
£179 for the big one that I've got. Slightly cheaper for the smaller one. I can't remember the price. They do a gold one, not gold, but gold coloured for $210. Probably cheaper. It's probably the same in dollars in America.
Yeah, maybe a bit less, maybe perhaps now.
Yeah. So it's about half price of the Apple Watch.
Cool. I mean, I've got to say, I'm tempted. I'm waiting to hear what your review's like, but I always fancied a Microsoft Band. I was gutted that they stopped the idea of making that. So this does hold some appeal to me. And now some bastard's stolen my Apple Watch.
Seriously?
Yeah, what? I put it down in a... I put it in a locker, and then I had to change lockers because the door wouldn't shut. And I picked it up, and I think it dropped on the floor, and someone's half-inched it. And it hasn't been connected to the internet yet, so it's got a thing on saying, "Oi, sod off." But I think I might have activated it a bit late, so... Bastards.
Mm. That really sucks.
Yeah. I hope it turns up so that I can beat the shit out of them.
If you want a replacement, Sam doesn't use hers anymore.
Right, okay. We'll talk.
Yeah.
Well, you can just get it with his watch, wouldn't they?
We shall talk, Terry, afterwards. My cool thing is Easy Tracker for Final Cut Pro and for Premiere Pro. Jake and I have been sat working here today working in inverted commas. He's been working, I haven't done a lot. But we've had a play with this to try and see if it's any good. And holy crap, it's dead easy. I'm going to show you a quick film here. Boris Johnson on the front of a train.
You said don't share that.
I'm not going to. That's why, because I wanted to use it tonight. I'm not suggesting anything that Boris the Tank Engine's real, but I just wanted to find a picture of someone to put on a train, and it seemed as good as any. So you can see how smooth that is. Look.
Yeah.
And literally, you've got two clips. You've got the picture of Boris, and you've got the video of the train, and you highlight the front of the train using a square, and then you take the picture of Boris and you shrink it to the correct size for whichever frame you're on, and then you tell it to render it and track it, and that's one pass of tracking, and it did that. It's that good.
Yeah, that's cool.
It is extremely good.
What's the damage on that?
It's that easy. It's a two-click process, literally. Three-click process, and it's up and running. Dead easy.
How much, mate?
It was $49.
Ooh.
Ooh, wow. See?
Ooh.
It goes up to $99 today, unfortunately, because I bought it in the window, so you'll have to pay $99 for it. But it is that easy. It basically, you highlight where you want it to track from, and then you put down the size of the thing that you want it to be at that point, and then it renders it and tracks it, and it's that easy. And that was quite a complicated image, I thought, to try and track, but it works an absolute treat.
You've chosen one of those images where it looks like it's looking at you all the time.
That's because it is.
Yeah, I was trying to do it with Wrighty's caricature before you all came on, but I couldn't get it to shrink far enough, so, unfortunately.
Thank God.
That was a bit awesome.
Just because the picture of Boris Johnson might be quite career-limiting for me, that's all. Where can we get a hold of you, Tez?
I am at Terry_CY on Twitter, and I'm still on the empty website of thefrontender.co.uk. I will one day. I don't think when the baby's born, I'll have any time to do it. But one day, you'll see, I'll have a website.
Just keep coming on the show, mate. When you've got it in bed, just put the computer on and sit here and shoot the breeze with us one Friday night.
That is an excellent idea.
Good man. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
I am over at macobserver.com with a bunch of other amazing writers, and I am on Twitter, Jay Gamet, same thing on Instagram, and I'm on lots of podcasts right here, Mac Observer's Daily Observations, the iOS Show, and I guess what I'm saying is I get around.
Good man. Righty, where are you, mate?
Paul's on Twitter, mate. Hang around in the Slack room, doing your old reviews, and taking the Queen out tomorrow for a pint of Southbourne Ale and a jar of Welks.
Good girl. She knows how to party. She does know how to party, Liz, doesn't she?
Yeah, she just texts me, actually.
And come Monday, we'll all be calling you Sir Righty of Norwich.
You will. Bye before me.
Respect my authority.
Respect me. No. Respect the plough. Muller.
Muller Bike on Twitter. I've got a question for Terry.
Hello.
What we could do, I was thinking during the birth, you could maybe put it on live on Facebook or something.
Am I going to have to edit this? Go on.
No, I'm just thinking you could go into there, put it on live on Facebook, and we could all share his experience.
Take that out. Muller, you are a disturbed little...
He does look a bit stunned.
I am genuinely speechless. Absolutely, unequivocally not, no.
Okay, just a thought.
Oh, bless you. No, I would be hung, drawn, and quartered even for...
suggesting it.
Darling, I was thinking of sharing a still image up between your legs with the world during one of your most ingracious moments. Would that be all right?
I was thinking video.
Good God.
You have one viewer. That'd be Muller.
And Jeff.
If you're listening to this, I have edited, by the way. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week on Thursday. Same thing. All this shiz going on. Daniel O'Goles. See you then. Thanks for listening.